Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together to your word. Lord, we ask you that you may just quicken our hearts, our minds, our spirits, Lord, to be able to grasp and receive what your word says. Lord, to be able to connect with the spiritual truth that your word reveals to us and with the spiritual power that is contained in your word. Let us, Lord, allow that truth and that power to be manifested in our life, Lord, and to work, Lord, in us and around us. As we yield ourselves to you and allow you to empower, to transform, to metamorphosize us into the people you want us to be. We just thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the things I wanted to expand on, okay, is the different changes, the different manifestation, if you want, that are going to be taking place as we get closer and closer to Jesus coming back. See, we just think that this is going to be boof, one thing that happens instantaneously and everything is going to be taking place at the moment. I really think that's the wrong idea. I mean, there's going to be a moment in time in which that takes place, and there was going to be the greatest breakthrough that you can think of. But there is a progression toward that. Okay, we need to understand. We need to understand things. We need to understand what the word says. Okay, not just go by ideas that we may have had before. See, some way, we had to be different to be able to receive new things. Some way, we had to change the way we think about some things. Because if we think of the way we think today, we are going to be the same as we are today. Hello? See, you can't see anything that has transferred from the spiritual dimension to the physical dimension involves a change in our ability to receive it. You can know certain things mentally, but not grasp really what is in those things and not have the manifestations that correspond to those thoughts and those ideas. And the healing is the typical example in which you can believe that by Jesus' stripes you were healed and you are there still sick in the physical. Okay, even if that is not true in the spiritual dimension. Okay, why? Because there are blocks that make that impossible to receive because they do not line up with God's word within you. So those things, have to change. And there is more than one thing. I mean, I'm using that as an example. Okay. We have to grasp the vision of what God is doing. That vision is like the GPS for your walk, your Christian walk. You have to have a direction. If you don't know where you're going, you're not going to go anywhere. So you have to understand. And there are many scriptures, we mentioned, for example, Proverbs 29:18 and Hosea, that without a vision, my people perish. Without really understanding, this is really a revelation from God that we had to get. Because, within yourself, there are always what God's idea is and what the opposite is that generally your sense is telling you. And those two things are competing one with another. Because they are two different sources. One is the spiritual dimension, and one is what God says, the word of God, which is spirit and truth. And your own experiences and what your senses tell you. And those things are going to be in contradiction, and it's going to be in fight all the time. Until one is demolished, and there is no anymore vacillating or moving back and forth, then it's not going to be any manifestation. There has to be, you know, a solid preparation. And so there is going to be, when we talk about the great change that is going to be taking place when Jesus comes back in us, in which our body is going to be completely transformed if we are still alive at that time, you know, in the blinking of an eye, it's going to be an immortal body. That's big change. But there are many changes that need to be taking place before that. And we just ignore those, and we expect just suddenly, poof, everything appears. You know, if you need to receive a miracle from God, it's not something that happened, poof. Generally, there are lots of changes inside yourself to prepare you for that until you reach to the point in which that happens and takes place. There are changes in the way you think, changes in the way you connect to God, changes in what you believe, changes in what you don't believe. So that's when the thing happened. So here, you know, we are looking at God's plan in general to really understand how the changes, the type of changes that had to take place, so that we can participate or cooperate with God, starting to work on some of those that need to come before, so that you can appropriate the one that comes after. Okay. So we had to start. This is really the final preparation, as I said before, okay, for his coming. And so there are to be all these things that need to be taking place. The thing is, you know, the whole nature, the whole world, you know, is expecting, eagerly waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. And that is going to come before Jesus' coming. Not after. That's the preparation part. See, that means, you know, this is a continuous growth and unveiling of some characteristics, attributes, divine, you know, nature attributes. They have to start manifesting in us. Okay. That has to be our new DNA. It's not determined by our physical things anymore, but by the spiritual things within us. Okay? Now, one of the things that takes place, you see, is what Jesus is doing in the church. See, that's one of the operations that takes place. And if you look around globally, you say, well, it's not, certainly not happening. And I don't believe that. That's the deception that the enemy is trying to bring about, because he's lying the truth. Because there is more and more truth. In the last, say, 50 years, there's been preached more truth than ever been preached before. I don't care what anybody else says. They don't even understand. If you read stuff that was written, you know, say 100 years ago, and you know, they don't have a clue of how to operate in certain area. Although there were some people that, you know, by experience got there, but there was just an exception, and even then, their idea weren't completely right. That's why, you know, just be careful what you get idea, because if you get ideas that are past, you're going to be stuck there. You have to be ready to change your theology. Because the old theology brings the church that we have today, in general, which is really not the church without spot and wrinkle, not, it is not the church that is unbeatable, that the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what you see, you know, from a statistical point of view, the way the world works is not working. But God doesn't work by statistics. Works by what God works by individual. See, an individual is always 100%, is not 50% right. Now, so what Jesus is doing, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, you know, is that he, what he done is offer himself so that he may sanctify and cleanse the church, the bride, with the washing of the water of the word. So evidently, you know, the word has to be doing some work, but it's not represented by the statistics. If you look at the statistics in, you know, I mean, not just even evangelical churches, they have the same percentage of problems that the world has. There is, there's something wrong with the image. It shouldn't be that way. It says it here that, you know, that he may present himself a glorious church. You know, how is glorious? Who is to manifest in God's power and cleansing inside there. Not having a wrinkle or any such a thing, but she should be holy and without blemish. So that's the things that has to take place. But it's evidently not the general thing. It's evidently has to do with the people that are actually manifesting that. Okay? That's the real thing. Because the church is not something physical. It's something spiritual. It's a combination of the unity of all the people that have responded and are connected with God. Not people that call themselves something or put the labels on themselves. You have to understand that. And you have to respond, you know, to that concept, because otherwise you're going to be completely confused. See, so to you know, that transformation is one of the things that should start appearing or becoming evident, not on the masses, but on some people that are actually connected with God and are responding to the Spirit of God, or what He's doing is being cleansed by the Word. Not coming out with men's theologies and theories, but with the truth that sets you free. Free from the bondages and the ignorance that comes from the senses and the world, and the lusts of the world. That's something that we have to understand. Okay. But the fact that we know that doesn't, you know, even the fact that we know the scripture is not enough. You can know the scripture and get nowhere. So were the children of Israel. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says very clearly, therefore, since the promise remains of entering in his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Okay? So that what is telling us, okay, that we have to not be there procrastinating on the things that we should be doing, or not responding to what the word says, applying the word now, not tomorrow. Okay? And press on to what the goal and the where the GPS is telling us to do, what the word giving us the direction to go. Okay? Continuing there, because there is an important fact, point. Hebrews 4:2. Indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Talking about the children of Israel. For the word which they heard did not profit them. So you can hear the word and profit you nothing. Okay, why? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the idea is, you know, you had to mix the word with faith. Now, the idea that lots of people say, well, faith comes from God. Nonsense. Faith is a decision you make. And if you don't make that decision today, you miss the point for today. Are you listening to me? Okay, that's, otherwise it would be expecting from God, and then, you know, forget it. You can do anything you want. Complete nonsensical. But lots of people say that, and they don't have a clue what faith is. Faith is a decision you make to believe the word and stick with it. That way you can mix it, otherwise you cannot be mixing. If it comes from God, it's always there, already done. So you just stay there, and you see something is going to happen. Yeah, you know what's going to happen? Nothing, zero. Because that's exactly what you do. There is a part you play. And the part you play is making that decision and agreeing with God and choosing to believe the word of God and taking action, because faith always corresponds to some activity that you have to do that respond to the faith that you have. It's not just, I believe it. If you believe you are healed, you stand up and keep moving. To give you an example. Now, our faith, you know, I think probably 50 years ago, people didn't understand what faith was. But anyway, faith is what activates the word and transform logos into rhema. And this is something that depends on us. As you choose to believe what God said, when he said, Jesus died for your sin, and you accept that, you believe what the word of God says, and what the word of God says is going, that's called the impact, the transformation should take place when you really believe it. If you don't believe it, you just believe it, you know, you agree because it sounds something good for you, then that is not going to work, and you're going to go around feeling guilty yet. Hello? Now, this is important to understand. You know, your faith activates the power or releases the power of your word, the word, so that they can produce the result or the manifestation in your life. That applies to spiritual things, to physical things, to mental things, to financial things, to anything. God is a general principle that is true. It's a spiritual principle that is beyond the physical. You cannot do that physically. You do that spiritually, because you are a spirit being that can make spiritual decisions, and that those spiritual decisions are going to be an effect even in the physical dimension. You are the one, you are the connection between the spiritual and the physical. That's what makes the difference. So, there are so many scriptures saying that, so many scriptures reinforcing that, so many scriptures demonstrating that. For example, in Matthew 22, verse 29, said, Jesus answered and said to them, we were being in discussion about theoretical theology about nonsense. And Jesus said it to them, that's what they said. You are mistaken, not knowing, and the word knowing is eido, which actually means not seeing or be able to understand, to perceive things, you know, the scripture nor the power of God. You see, there are always those two elements. The scripture, which is the word, the logos, and the power of God, which is actually the dynamis, you know, is the power, is the faith. Well, that's what is released through the faith. If you don't have experience that way, then your theology is going to be dead. That's why they didn't understand anything, and they were arguing some stupid things that they, you know, they didn't have a clue, and Jesus corrected them. I'm not going to go into the detail of that at the moment. But the idea is this, that we have to understand by experience, experiencing the power of God manifested in us, operating into our life, not just theology, not just thinking. And that is where the heart and the judgment in our heart becomes important, because that's where the gate between spirit and the physical world. Okay. That's why Jesus said, don't do anything until the power of God has come upon you. Lots of people try to do lots of things. They have experienced no power whatsoever. They spin their wheels. The only thing they do is get more and more religious instead of getting anywhere in the spirit. So, I mean, Jesus is the typical example of that. I mean, he demonstrated that by the physical manifestation of spiritual things that were taking place. You know, that your faith may be based on the power of God, not reasoning of men. Now, we had to change, you know, this is some of the changes that we need to start manifesting and experiencing in our life. See, those are the steps to the coming final change. If we are in religion, we haven't even started. We had to move out from religion and start walking by faith and not by sight. Okay? That means not depending anymore, not being caught up and limited by the things that we hear, we see, and, you know, we always knew before. Even things that we may think are spiritual, but they aren't. Because that's it, you know, you have to kill a lot of sacred cows to be able to get someplace. Okay? That's the truth. And that's not easy, because sometimes, you know, we have been worshiping those cows. Okay? So we had to open up to really listen to the Holy Spirit and to, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to show us things. Okay? Our perspective about everything has to change. See, I was saying before, you know, we are aliens. Well, we had to start thinking like aliens if we want to get anywhere. Not of this world anymore. You know, Jesus said, I'm not of this world. They are not of this world also. I mean, I didn't say that. Jesus said it. Do you agree with him, or you agree with everything? They say, well, you know, you are just a man or a woman, or whatever you want to call yourself. Are you following what I'm saying? We had to just change the way we think, even about ourselves, about life, about God, about everything. Okay? And we do that by simply one basic thing that have been, you know, this perspective change that has to start to happen in us, but not just on a superficial way. That has to be deep inside us to make impact on the way we look at things, the way we judge things. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It's a critical scripture showing the one of the beginning, I'm saying just beginning changes to taking place inside us. Okay. This transformation or metamorphosis, according to, you know, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay. Now, it says, we do not look, okay, that's the way we look at things, that's the way we perceive things, at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. So you see, the things that we had to start giving more importance in our judging things, what's going on, is not what you can see. If you base yourself on what you can see, you're going to be tricked by the enemy. You have to be able to see beyond that And the only way to see beyond that means that you have got understanding about spiritual things that you got from where? The Bible. Okay. Not only that, but the things that, for, you know, the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, and the things that are seen are eternal. So one of the things that all the world does to these days is what I can get now. I mean, give it to me now. Well, he says, you know, that's not even to be considered in our looking at things. We have to look at things eternal, and that's going to mean the reason and the position of our decisions. Not the temporary thing. Anything that is temporary, who cares? Can we think that way? Can we start moving that way? I mean, that, you know, unless we make, you know, this is a very easy change to really determine if we are moving that way or thinking that way or not. Because you have to do that day by day. You see, but again, decisions is what is the basis of all that. You decide to the what you give importance to, the priorities, what you value more, are the things that are temporary. This today, you know, I need to eat something. You know, if you don't put your body under subjection, you know, submission, and you are a slave for your food, you are not going to win the battle. So, well, I have to eat. Who said that? My doctor. Oh, good reference. Every 10 years, they change the story about anything. So that's not evidently the person to, or the basis to make judgments. Those are not eternal judgment. The Bible says, you know, you need breakthrough, you can fast. Or you can learn. Now, the point is, you know, that's the things, okay, I want to say something here. What I'm saying here about looking at the what you don't see instead of what you see, looking at what is eternal instead of what is temporary, has to be your normal way of operating now. Or you have to make it the normal way of operating. By what? Decisions. That is faith. Okay? You are no longer of this world. You are of another world. You are of the spiritual world. You are the dimension that God lives in because you are living with him because you are born from I. So you are a heavenly, you have to start considering yourself as a heavenly being, not as a worldly being, because Jesus said you are not of the world, like he is not of the world. Like he was not of the world even before he went up and was resurrected. That's what it says, you know, in chapter 15, I think. Are you following what I'm saying? See, that's a complete shift of mentality, shift of the way you look at yourself, of everything. But you have to start doing that consciously, not just when you are in Sunday morning at church. Or the half an hour that you spend reading the Bible. That's not important because, you know, that at the moment, you know, you are not really yourself. You are trying to get connected with something outside yourself. It has to be inside you. It has to be you. And when it's going to start to be you inside, it's going to be you outside too. Otherwise, you cannot get it on the outside. See, this is so important. Everybody is looking at, you know, oh, Jesus is coming back. Oh, and all the stuff, you know, all the problems in the world, and looking at the problem instead of, you know, who care? The only thing care is what's going on inside you. Because that determines the impact that those things are going to have on you. And instead of participating or being involved in the transformation that I'm talking about here, about the way we look at things, instead of being, you know, allowing God's Spirit to guide you into this new direction that you had to move on because, you know, He's showing you that's the end, you may not be there, but you keep moving, you know, you'll get there. You know, if you keep looking at the wrong thing, you're going to stay right there. And you may know that the bridegroom is coming, but you're going to be one of the five virgins that are there without the oil, and you're going to get nowhere. He comes back, and you are stuck. Are you listening to me? So now is the time to do something. Now is the time to get the oil. Now is the time to see the transformation that has to take place in us so that we are ready to go. Let's go. Instead of, you know, that let go attitude is going to come in a minute. You know, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the power of God, not your reasoning. And the power of God comes when you start shifting and you're starting to move into the spiritual dimension because that's where the power is. Not in our thinking, not in our theology, not in our mind, not in our reasoning, not in our observing what's going on in the world. No, it's by connecting yourself with the Holy Spirit, having fellowship with Him, allowing the Word to become alive in you, to empower you with the power that created the whole universe. Praise the Lord. I mean, I'm ready to be lifted. No kidding. I mean, that's where it makes the difference. Okay? The unveiling of what now is covered has to take place. Now is not visible, but it's there already, and you have to start to be able to see it. Because it's already there. To a degree, but it's there. That's it what says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and following. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not been yet revealed what we shall be. So you see, I mean, we are now, says now, not in the future, but we, you know, what we are going to be, what the transformation is going to bring about is not revealed yet, but we should already see it if we want to go there. Otherwise, we cannot get there. We had to be motivated. We had to be acting. We had to exercise our faith to appropriate the things that are coming. But if we don't know what is coming, how are you going to get it? Because you don't know that it's there to get. Okay? So, but we know, that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself. You see, the church purifying himself? Well, you know, Jesus, through the Word, said it before. And we were talking the bride that was going to be purified through the Word. Well, that is what is going to happen, because we start understanding. You see, this hope in Him purified himself just as He is pure. That means pure, you know, the word pure, it means not contaminated by the flesh. The flesh is got rid of. But you see, you know, you have to have this hope in you. It doesn't say because you are afraid of what's going to happen when the Antichrist is going to be around that you're going to be purifying yourself. That's not going to work. It's when you have this hope in you. And that hope in you is nothing else. Okay, the fact that hope is a joyful, you know, excited expectation or something is going to happen. It's not fear of what's going to happen. It's expectation. You are there excited. Says, let's move. Let's get it done. Even so, Jesus come. I mean, it's that attitude. You know, is this what we want? You know, hurry up. I'm ready to move in. See, that one makes the difference. There has to be an excitement in our heart to motivate us to act and make decisions and choose the right thing so that we don't look at, I'm going to have an hamburger now. Okay? Instant gratification time. It's not going to be instant gratification anymore for you if you are thinking that way. You want the end of the story, even if it means 100 years. Because that's the only thing that counts. It doesn't matter what's involved in getting there. Okay? So, this has to be, you know, the things within them. We have to have hope, no fear of what is coming. A joyful, excited expectation of why I want to see that. I want to see him coming back. I'm making decisions now so that I'm ready for that. I'm not going to be like the virgin, you know, without the oil. I'm going to have double portion of oil. Okay, not going to ask anybody to buy the oil for me. I'm going to get it myself. All right? Okay. See, this is when we start thinking, when we start looking at things from this point of view, that shows that we are becoming fit for the manifestation of the supernatural that God wants to bring about. Otherwise, we are not fit for it because we are too much right here, right in the physical. Right in the world. In the world, you are not going to have no supernatural manifestation, no spiritual breakthroughs, not victory over death. Okay. Now, so there are already in the things I set up to now, and I've been talking about some of this stuff before. It's not nothing new. See, the thing is what you have to understand. You don't need to understand any new scripture. Probably you know all the scripture that you need to know, but you have to do something with them. You have to grasp them properly, and you have to start to applying them to in such a way that they're starting to produce results now. So that you can say, I can see that I'm getting ready. Praise the Lord. So there are, you know, we've been talking already about changes. So we have to see these changes taking place in our life. These changes, you know, demonstrating the fact that you are not in this world anymore. You are an alien around here. You are weird from the worldly point of view. Okay? If you are normal, see, this is our normal now. To be normal is not normal anymore. If you want to be ready for what is coming. So, you know, one of the things, you know, the world is so selfish, so centered. You know, the first thing is you have to live for others rather than for yourself. What we mentioned that, you know, whosoever desires to be first among you, let him be slave. And the who, the Son of Man, you know, the way Jesus did it. Okay, the Son of Man did not come here to be served, but to serve and give his life ransom for many. See, that's really the one of the first manifestation of overcoming self, self-centered. So all this stuff, that's another one. We are talking about shifting the way we look at things, the way we deal with our life in general. It's not like just looking at it, oh, you know, and do this, the other thing. It's not just these are principles, the general principle that applies to everything you do. Okay, now, that's the way we start. That is the first and second commandment, essentially, is applied. So another element that we had to have, or is going to take place, and it's very important, is the attitude that you have. One attitude. I mean, it's all attitudes, let's face it. When you start not being selfish, then it's an attitude of concerning selfishness. Well, there is another attitude that's very important, okay? And the aptitude, okay, that you got it all. Everything that you needed. If you are born again, you got everything that you needed. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't have any need. I'm not a needy person. I don't need anything because I already got everything. You know, I remember when I first got saved, you know, I realized that, you know, I was looking for the truth everywhere and I couldn't find it. Now I have the truth. I got there. I mean, I will not fully comprehend everything, but I got it. I know where I had to be, and I'm going to stay here until the whole thing unveiled itself. Okay? Well, you know, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord, Jesus our Lord." So grace and peace are two things there, okay? That have to do with grace is empowerment. Grace is charis, it's a gift. And it's something that, it's a gift they give us, it's the ability to do things that we cannot do ourselves. People say, well, something you don't deserve. That's not the issue, that's not what charis means. Charis means it's a gift. It's a, something they give to us to enable to do things that we cannot do ourselves. So he gives us the anointing. He gives us power. He gives us forgiveness. All these things we cannot do ourselves, but he gives them to us. And this is the grace that we have. This is God given to us. And you don't get those things just because one day he says, oh, I like his face, and I give it to you. No, it's because you exercise your faith. And you believe for it according to the word. Are you still with me? You see, always to please God, there is no other way. You had to exercise faith. That means you had to make the decision to believe what he says rather than believe something else. Okay? And as a result of that, what you are going to get is peace. Which, you know, for us, peace is that, okay, peace, you know, going to sleep. No, you know, peace, you know, with the shalom idea is really everything that has to do with prosperity, has to do with, you know, health, has to do with holiness, has to do with everything. I mean, you are not moved anymore. You are prosperous. So those two things is what he gives us and is multiplied to us. More and more in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this connected with what we know, not just one day we get these things. No, you cannot exercise faith without knowing what you have to exercise faith for. So you have to know what you're going to get to be able to believe for what you have to get and to make that decision, I'm going to get it because this is what God wants from me. Okay, so, you're going to get grace and peace. Okay, and continue there. And his divine power has given to us, past tense, this is past, has given to us, is gone, finished. Okay, all things that pertain to life and godliness. How many things? Oh, that means you got everything that you need. You are not there, Lord, please give me more anointing. You got the Holy Spirit? How much more anointing do you need? What's the problem? Is God that has to give you something, a double portion? Are you still in the Old Testament? If you got the Holy Spirit inside you, you had all the anointing that you have, and you better acknowledge that, otherwise you're never going to come out. Has nothing to do with God. God is always here. Has to do with you. Believing stuff, limiting the Holy One of Israel. Jesus didn't have limitations in allowing the anointing of God to be on him. It's the same thing for you. The only thing that blocks God's anointing is your rotten thinking. Or limiting thinking. Thinking that you don't think the way God thinks. He gave you the Holy Spirit. What more can he give you? Now, you have to receive it, you have to believe it, and you start opening up with your thinking about aligning yourself up, allowing what he has put in you to work in you and to operate in you and to be manifested, to unveil himself. See the thing I was saying before? You know, that you know the things that are there, you know, you don't see yet, but they're to be unveiled, revealed, okay, to us, so that we can take them. One of the things that has to happen is that any of the gifts operating in us, you know, any of the power operating in us, we have to get to the point and we understand what is available to us and we use it by starting with faith. You know. And we had to go just simply to the Word. Everything is there. How does it happen? Well, here. As his divine power has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who calls us to glory and virtue. So you see, that's the thing. He's given us all things. So you know what Psalm 30:23 says? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means if I don't want, it's because I don't have any lust, I don't have any desire, because God has given me everything I need. There has to be in us a sense of completion. We are completed in him. I mean, that's not just theoretical. This is not just, theological. This has to be just the sense, the attitude that is inside us. That we know that he is there. We know that he guides us into his righteousness for his name's sake. That he leads us in green pastures. That he may lie down next to the quiet waters. To prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemy. It doesn't matter, you know, if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We shall fear no evil. Are you following what I'm saying? See, this is not something that we go and read to try to work it up. When it really is printed inside our heart, that's the way we feel inside. And if we don't feel that way, we got the problem. Why? Because we have been too much caught up in the world and not enough caught up in the heaven so that we are not really feeling the way we should feel. Because what manifests in us is the feeling of the world instead of the feeling of heaven. How do you do that? Cut yourself off. Start meditating on the Word. Spend time with God. Spend enough time, you're going to get up there before you go there. Are you following me? See, but there is a part, there is an operation that we had to do. There are things that we need to do for us. If we are not experiencing that, then there is a problem with us that we had to get to the place in which we actually experience it. It becomes a reality for us. You know, and it's not just a question of, you know, if you are lazy, if you are procrastinating, if you do any of the other things and you don't experience that, you are spiritually in the wrong place. And it's not the wrong place around you, it's the wrong place inside you, because that's where the things has to happen. Now, the environment you are in, you know, can be helping you in that direction or helping you against that direction. So one of the things you have to do is to make some choices. Again, faith is a choice. You choose to believe and move in the right direction that God wants to move rather than the other direction. Until you feel it, and when you feel it, you are ready to go. Okay? Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. So, you know, meditation, spending time with the Lord, praying, not just begging God. Begging God doesn't do anything, you're wasting your time. God has given to you everything already that you need. The only thing you have to do is to take what he has given you. And you take it by doing the things that I've been telling you. Doesn't matter, you know, okay, well, sometimes, you know, things are gotting on you. Okay, things got on you. So you feel down. You feel not really like an alien. You are just literally like a worm on the world. That's fine. Just get out of there. You need to do a little introspection. Say, wait a minute, why my soul is burdened within myself. I shouldn't be there. I have the God of the universe inside my belly. I have been forgiven of all the messes I did before. I am born from high. I am just, you know, sitting on the right hand of God with Christ Jesus, you know, and I'm there going and feeling rotten. And that can be applied many different spiritually, physically, whatever it is. You start imposing on the situation what the Word of God says and start shifting. So first of all, it's going to do, you know, it's going to shift the inside of you. But when your inside is being shifted, then your outside is going to also align up. Sooner or later, if you keep going, if you don't give up, if you are expecting, you know, this the hope in you, you are purifying yourself from the thinking of the world. The garbage, the manure that you are exposed to is going to just dissolve away, to be washed away by the Word. Are you still with me? I haven't finished. Okay, verse 19. Okay, no, let me go back. I'm just doing too fast. Oh, it's a lot more to cover here. Okay, so I said before, okay, that through the knowledge, it calls us to virtue. So we have to have knowledge. We have to go to the Word. We have to understand it. We have to spend enough time studying it and meditating it and allowing it to come in us. Okay. According to this knowledge that we are getting, by which this knowledge, having been given to us, past tense as well, exceedingly great and premious promises. So you see, the promises are very important because it shows us what God has already given to us. Okay, God says, you know, forgiven and so on. Okay. That through these, through the promises, okay, you may be partaker of the divine nature. Okay, you are not going to have a worldly nature anymore. You are going to have a divine nature because you are born from high. That means, you know, divine nature is the same nature of God, the same nature that Jesus had should be inside you, because then you can see it from the promises, okay, they are going to be manifesting in you, and you are going to be partaking more and more of these things, you know, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, you are not going to have any more lust for anything because you got everything. See, the manifestations are going to start to, or the promises are going to start to become evident, operating in you. This is going to be a reality in you. You know, you got it. Even if something is coming, you know, you're just, you know, you're so excited because it's coming. And you're going, oh, you know, never happens. Well, you didn't spend enough time with him in that dimension. You spent too much time down here. It's simple. Okay? How much do you have to do? As much as is required. When you start seeing things happening, instead of quitting right there, just keep pushing harder because you are going are there. You know, and there are lots of things that it's interesting to know about when you're close to a breakthrough that helps you to determine that that's the time, generally is the time. You know, before a breakthrough, it's always harder than before because you are breaking through. You know, when a jet tries to go supersonic speed, okay, they increase the speed and push the throttle, you just keep far and farther and fast, faster and faster, and it comes to the time when you're getting close to the sound barrier. And boy, when you get there and you're just ready to break, the whole thing shakes. It feels like the whole plane is blowing apart. What are you going to do? Oh, I'm afraid. No, you are joyful expectation of the breakthrough, you have to push even harder. And that's the time when suddenly, poof, the sound barrier is behind and you're just sliding easily. It was just a big show. There was not a reality for you. You had to get this into that dimension more. Don't give up because of some resistance. Don't give up because the enemy is planning to put some stick in your wheels at the moment when you're getting close. That's the time when you have to really press harder, because that's the time when you're going to be seeing the manifestation of the breakthrough, and there's going to be transfer. You see, what happens is the breakthrough that I'm talking about is like breaking the barrier of sounds for a plane. You are moving from the spiritual to the physical, and that's pushing through the physical. And that's going to produce some shakes. But you don't look at the shakes because you don't look at the physical, immediate, temporary thing. You look at the eternal things that are coming because they are promised, and because you believe the promises, and you don't believe the story of the enemy tries to put together for you so that you stop before. Okay. See, that's very important. One of the things is to talk about, you know, that you are partaker of the divine nature of, you know, we're becoming partaker of the divine nature. The divine nature attributes are starting to become your DNA. What's the divine nature attributes? The most important one, the one really reflect. Okay, the attribute is the way God is. Divine nature attribute is the way God is. Okay? So, what is the way God is? What is the fruit of the Spirit? What is the natural result of the Holy Spirit being inside you? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, you know, all faith, all this stuff, you know, to a new level, empowered by God himself inside you, because you are starting to be partaker of the divine nature. Are you listening to me? That's what we see. Those are the manifestations that we should start expecting, and we should start seeing more and more in us. You know, it's hard to love people. There is some thinking there that was different from Jesus' thinking. I'm really bad in self-control. Well, you have to start eradicating those kind of thoughts from inside you if you're going to want to get anywhere, because what you are doing is putting yourself barriers to break through that you're never going to break through. What you have to say, the Holy Spirit is inside me, is empowering, is going to manifest by itself. I don't need to do anything. The love of God has been put out in my heart by the Holy Spirit. I don't need to be there, you know, loving and being stupid. You know, I just it's the only thing I can be. Are you following what I'm saying? You have to be careful what you confess that you are. Rejecting some of the thoughts that come from the world. Because lots of stuff, you know, Christians say, they come from the world completely. I just mentioned a couple, but there are going to be, you know, many more. Are you still with me? I'm getting somewhere, yeah? I hope so. Let me continue a moment. See, one of the things that... this is open a big kind of worm. I'm going to start on this anyway. Just a couple of more scripture. All right? We have to be aware of who we are in Christ. Our identity has to be clear. Today, there is a crisis of identity. Nobody knows anymore what they are anyway. I mean, to the extreme, okay? So, to the point that it's never been that way before, okay? So, but we should be actually be aware of what we are spiritually, because that identity is more important than our physical identity, and what we are going to see, our physical identity is going to disappear the very moment in which he appropriates that identity, okay? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, says, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one his work, conduct yourself through the time of your stay here in fear. Oh boy, talk about fear. You know, God has not given me a spirit of fear. Why is a contradiction? The Bible must be wrong. Wake up. The Bible is not wrong. The way you understand it, it's wrong. Okay? Fact is, what he's telling here is that our conduct should be the evidence of who we are. You know, actually, should be, is, all the time. And so when we look at ourselves, we see who we are. Not what we think we are. You know, if you are a king, you're going to behave like a king. If you are a slave, you're going to behave like a slave. If you are confused, you're going to be able like a confused person. If you are a fool, you're going to be like a fool. Okay? So just look at yourself. And you can determine, you know, what the identity at the moment is there, not what you think you are. Okay? God judges everyone without partiality on the basis of what each one's work is. Say, oh, God doesn't look at the physical, looks only at the heart. Yeah, but according to your heart, you're going to operate. So Not just God, but anybody can see where you are because he sees the way you're operating. He says, if you are a jerk, you're a jerk. Are you still with me? So here he's saying, you know, and you have to do that, looking at that, okay? During the time, conduct yourself throughout the time where you stay here in fear. So they're saying what they're saying here. The fear is really exercising good godly fear, which is actually, I'll give you an example to good godly fear. You have to cross the street. And you say, oh, I have faith. And go and just close your eyes and cross the street and get killed. That's dumb. Or foolish, the way the Bible calls it. So evidently, you know, there are some things that he's saying, the fear that there is talking about, be conscious of the decisions you make and the impact that they are going to have. Okay? In 1 Peter, again, in chapter 5, verse 8, there's a be sober and vigilant. That's what the same thing is there. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking who might devour. You go around with your closed eyes and you're going to get zapped. Okay, so that's what it's telling us. So the idea is we have to exercise godly judgment, you know, pass the proper judgment on the decision we make so that we don't make stupid choices and make wise choices. Because there are consequences about our choices. There is a law of sowing and reaping. Okay, it's not the way, you know, hyper grace story that, you know, it doesn't matter, you don't need to do anything. You know, yeah, and you go right to hell because you don't know what you're talking about. You have to actually act out what you, the God wants you to do because that's the way he's expected. Now, goes on, and I want to just close with that because, you know, knowing. And that's the thing we had to know. That's why we make those right choices. That you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold for your from your sinless conduct, but received by the tradition from your father. So you see, the thing, the seed from which you were born is uncorruptible. That means imperishable. So it's eternal. So that means that you should be that way. Talking about you are alien. Yes. You know, you are come from a heaven. And, you know, you had to have all the heavenly attributes, divine nature attributes. So you had all those things. So you had to be operating not according to the tradition of man. Doesn't matter where they come from. In this case, I was talking specifically about Old Testament. Okay. But you go according to what the Holy Spirit is showing us to do today, which is practically done by Jesus, but not really understood by many. At the beginning of the church, some people did. Okay, so the non-corruptible things, you were born of eternal seed, and you should be accordingly eternally connected, eternally operating. And the thing I was talking before, you know, you don't look at the temporary thing, you look at the eternal things, long-term things, not traditions, wrong thinking, traditional man, you know, and here both Paul and Peter and all the other, you know, talk about, you know, watch about the traditional man, okay? And it's really specifically, you know, take other scripture, for example, Galatians 5:1, you know, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty on which Christ has made you free. How does he do that? You know, do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What the yoke of bondage is not just sin and so on, is the fact that the idea they were given in the Old Testament. You know, Colossians 2:8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the principle, the basic principle of the world, and not according to Christ. See, the liberty is not a liberty of doing whatever we want to do. The liberty is not to be caught up by the principle of the world, the physical things that bring us bound. And with that, there is more we can say, but I think it's time to close for now. Did you get anything today? Okay, so this is application time. This is a question of turning words into facts, into things, decisions, steps. Okay, so let's maybe make a commitment. They just pray, okay? What, you know, often prayers for people is just ask God things. God has done everything that needed to be done. What we had to do is do the things that we had to do, and so we can ask and make decision for ourselves, and that's what the decision is important for us to make. So let's make some decisions here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just come before you in faith, believing that the things the Word says we can implement in our life. We believe what Jesus has done. We believe that He overcame sin, even death. And Lord, He did it for us because He didn't do it for Himself. And so today, we open ourselves up to You. Empower us. Teach us. Enable us to know the things that we had to change within ourselves. We may not go according to the tradition of men, but that the Holy Spirit may give us revelation, understanding, the power to break through. The Holy Spirit is here with us. We are born again. We are born from high. We are Your children. And as Your children, Lord, we have Your power to implement the changes that You demand of us in our life. And we thank You in advance for the breakthroughs that we are going to experience as we go forth in hope, in expectations, in faith to do it and to achieve it in Jesus' name. Yeah. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.